Hello everyone, and welcome to The Deep Dive. Today we will be discussing Soma, a science fiction survival horror game developed and published by Frictional Games. It is directed by Thomas Grip, written by Mikkel Hedberg, and composed by Mikko Tarmia. Our special guest today is Chris Wilson, currently design director at UK-based game dev studio Cardboard Sword, and previously with Frontier Developments and Playground Games working on series such as Forza Horizon. As always, we do recommend that you have played the game before listening, as we are going to dive deep, and in the abyss, there be spoilers. Now without further ado, let's descend.
I was very excited when I saw that you reached out. Tell me a little bit about your game, actually. Is it okay if I ask about that?
Yeah,
first,
of course.
Before Soma?
God, let me think. I haven't thought about my game in that way for a while. So we're doing it's kind of basically a blend of Mark of the Ninja, if you're familiar with that, and sort of the classic Metroidvania format. So it's like that, but in a large open world.
It looks super intriguing. Like, nothing really kind of has been done like that before, so...
Yeah, sort of finding out why. But it's
a challenge.
Yeah, it's, I think the thing is, in particular as well, sort of we've chosen to use Unreal Engine and stuff like that, and it's not that it can't it's not that it cannot produce 2D stuff, but there's a, you know, you feel like you're swimming against the tide, basically. And we all sort of daydream of the future when, because we've used Unreal before, you know, both in AAA and ourselves, daydream of the day when we can swim with the tide and just be like, oh, this is how you're supposed to use it, isn't this nice? But no, it's really fun, you know, if you want to do stuff that's challenging. So.
Absolutely.
And hopefully it works. Who knows?
Oh, I'm sure that it will. Mm. You guys will figure it out.
Hopefully.
I've watched a couple of your, in prep for this, I watched a couple of your VODs, your streams. Yeah.
Sorry about that.
No, it's all good. But yeah, so
we're very
I'm
much
excited.
Learning. We're not professionals like some people, but, we're getting there.
But that's how you become a professional, right?
Right, exactly. Like,
yeah, exactly. Mm-hmm. The passion project hopefully turns into to something else.
Yeah.
All right, so let's talk a little bit about Soma. Mm-hmm.
Are you okay, Simon? I think you're bleeding.
Oh, that's nothing. It's just my brain can't stop bleeding from the accident.
Here, take this.
No, that's for later, for the scan.
It's green.
Ashley, I need to tell you something.
Simon, please don't make this weird.
No, it's not like that. Why now?
Who's David Munchie?
Why is there never enough time?
For what?
So I have to tell you, this is... when I thought about this podcast and I said, okay, what games do I want to cover? This is like in the top five that came up.
Oh, that's cool.
So I'm really excited that you reached out about it, because up until this point, a couple of people had maybe mentioned it, but then chose other games. And I usually like to let the guest choose whichever one speaks to them the most. Mm. So I have like 3 pages of notes here.
Oh, wow. Okay. That's more than me. I got a few little jumping off points, but I did play through a bunch of it again just to remind myself,
to get a refresher.
Yeah, yeah.
Most of mine are plot points to remind me of what happened in what order,
good.
Because with Soma, it's you discover it as you go, and then there's a year and a half long timeline.
Yeah, I actually, I went searching through my own notes and stuff like that, and I found that I still had bookmarked, like, someone had worked out the chronological timeline of the whole thing, and it's like many pages, and I'm like, okay, sure. So they worked it out.
Yeah, I think I saw, so one of the videos that I was telling you about that I watched just to kind of refresh me was a 5-minute summary of the order in which things happen.
Right.
So I can send that to you later if you want.
Okay, cool.
But yeah, so I'm going to ask you, why did you pick Soma?
So I'd actually at the time, I hadn't really realized this, but we were working on another game at the time, a horror game, mm-hmm. and I've always been a big fan of Frictional and how they do stuff. And it happened that we just started sort of building up this sci-fi game at the time that Soma was just announced. And I don't know if you remember, like the very first things of it, I saw it. And actually, I don't know if deliberately or not, but it looked like it could have been a space station. And I was like, oh, no. Well, that's a shame. And anyway, it turned out not to be, but I kept, you know, kept close eye on it and stuff like that. So when it came out, I really wanted just to see, you know, what it would be like and see how they do stuff. And the thing that was interesting to me is at the time when I first played it, I was, I tried not to, but I realized on reflection, I was just kind of, you know, data mining it. I was just mechanically focused. I was like, how have they done this? How are they making me feel this? Et cetera, et cetera. And they do a great job of that. So it didn't ruin it. But then actually, after I finished playing it, you know, a while after I finished playing it, I was thinking, oh, actually, you know, that stuff I was kind of not really thinking about. Oh, yeah, that's the important stuff. And I do remember him saying, I'm not even going to risk pronouncing his name because I always get it wrong. But I do remember him saying that was basically one of the core aims was to have something that you finish it and you're like, oh, well, I'm going to be thinking of that, you know, long beyond the finish of the game. And I think it really does that.
Yes, it's Soma sits with you for quite a while. And I feel like it gets better the second time you play it through or even just, you know, months later where you're like, wow, okay, that was pretty disturbing. And I'm not sure how all of those things made me feel. Before we keep going about some, what horror game did you work on?
Well, we never shipped it. Long story short, we had to sort of divert over. It still exists. Maybe one day it will return, but yeah, it never came out.
I do love horror and sci-fi. So,
well, I'll let you know. I mean, because we'd still like to do it.
Yeah, let me know. Keep me posted. Okay, so anyway, so dive right back into Soma. Mm-hmm. So what were some of the things that, I guess what was the first thing that popped up to you months after you played it? What was something that bothered you about the game or stuck with you?
Yeah, I mean, so I think the thing that's most interesting about it is that it has this whole, you know, quite deliberate misdirect, right? So you have this you have this character that you are at the start, and, you know, it doesn't explicitly go, maybe things will be okay. But of course, you being a human being, you're like, well, you know, maybe I'll survive this and maybe everything will kind of be okay or it'll be a bit traumatic. But instead, like, you know, obvious spoiler straight away is unavoidable. But the thing is, like, instead, it's like, oh, no, all of humanity is dead. You're essentially dead. That's the start. Have fun. And you're like, huh, yeah. Okay, cool. And yeah, that's okay. It's not nice, but it sticks with you because you're like, yeah, even, I mean, I think it's not quite the last shot, but nearly like the last shot in the game is just the Ark spinning around in front of like a ruined Earth.
Yeah.
And you're like, that's the closest thing to victory. That doesn't feel great.
Yeah.
And it's rare to have that kind of feeling.
Believe it or not, I think I would have preferred if the game had ended right before the Ark scene. I feel like that was put in, and I'm not a game dev, so I have no idea, but I feel like that was maybe put in to just kind of for a happy ending or to be like, hey, this is way too depressing if it ends right here. So we got to add this in.
I know exactly what you mean. The one where you are on the Ark at the end.
Yeah.
Potentially.
Yeah. I would have much preferred it if it had ended right when you're with Simon and he realizes that, you know, he sent this, you know, thing into space and it's got, you know, copies of humans on it, but he's not there, you know, he still has to.
Yeah, that was really interesting, I thought, as well. Yeah. The first time I played it, I was really frustrated with Simon. Like, he's just relentlessly an idiot.
Yeah, he doesn't get it.
Yeah. Well, I think the thing is, the first time I played it, that's how I felt. I was like, oh, you're just so annoying. Like, you don't understand. Mm-hmm. And yeah, it's kind of got on my nerves. But then actually playing it again, I'm like, I kind of feel more like he does, but he doesn't want to accept it.
Yeah.
You know, really strongly does not want to accept what's happened.
I'm still here. Catherine? Catherine?
I'm here.
What the hell happened? What went wrong?
Nothing. They're out there, among the stars. We're here.
No. We were getting on the Ark. I saw it. It finished loading just before it launched.
Yeah, I saw.
Then why are we still here?
Simon, I can't keep telling you how it works. You won't listen. You know why we're here.
Which is not unreasonable, considering, you know.
You know what hit me a month after I played the game was that he didn't give consent. So Simon, that is real, flesh and blood, right? Mm. He sits down in the chair to get his brain scanned so that he can, you know, hopefully get healed, right? Mm-hmm. And then in that very moment, when the scan starts, there are now two Simons, scanned Simon and then this real life Simon. And then a couple of weeks later, when he's like dying, the doctor says, can I use your scan? And real life Simon gives consent, but the guy in the chair had no idea.
Oh,
so
that's
Simon number two never gave consent. So he has no idea what's happening.
No, it's a good point.
Yeah. And so it hit me months after I played the game. I think I was doing dishes, believe it or not. And all of a sudden it hit me that, you know, this Simon sat down for a brain scan and never had the conversation of whether or not he'll be used for future testing. So he has no idea what's going on. And that would be super horrifying. And so I think if you found out that, you know, you were agreed to be used for testing, that's another person that made that agreement, not you. So you can't even come to terms with that. You kind of have to, you know, that would be upsetting. So of course you would just refuse to believe that, you know, you're gonna.
Yeah, so I do really like that. I like the way he has it explained to him, and I think he understands, but I do like the way they gradually build it up. And again, because it's something like actually kind of helped misdirect me as like a game dev, because right at the start it's maybe like it's like a couple of rooms into the underground underwater base, you go into a bathroom, because you always go into bathrooms just because you can, and I was like, huh, I wonder what I look like, and the mirror's all smashed, and I'm like, ah, yeah, well, mirrors are a real pain in the ass, they're really expensive, so they probably just aren't doing mirrors in this game. But of course that's not why they do it.
Oh yeah,
they do it because it's not for ages, right, until you get a chance to look in a mirror and see what you are. And he doesn't like that very much.
No. I think there was a moment where you meet Carl, which is a human transplanted into a robot shell.
Oh, yeah, he's got the thick accent
body.
And he's really fed up that you don't think he's human.
Exactly. And he doesn't realize that he's a robot, and he thinks he's injured and that he can't get up because of this injury. Mm. And so for those of you listening, he is constantly asking Simon to get help, and you realize he's just, you know, he's missing his lower half. He's like stuck on the rails here. Mm. And you have the option of, I think, ending him or leaving him alive.
Hey, is that you? What happened to the pilots here?
What are you?
Are you blind? It's me, Carl. Carl Semkin. Wrangler. Any of this sound familiar to you?
I know, actually.
Well, thanks for being so helpful. It's not like I'm knocked out on the floor or anything.
Are you human?
Shit, did my body give it away? I try hard saving mystery. Yeah, I'm human. Are you?
So, where are you, exactly?
Are you for real? I'm right here. See me waiting? Look at my hands. Hey, buddy!
Okay, I'm not seeing it. I see a machine, a robot talking.
I'm here. See?
Okay. I just didn't expect you to look like that.
You're really hung up on appearances, you know that?
Yeah, so this is actually, they do this a bunch of times, and these are the other ones that are really haunting, right? Is that I realized this time, I think they set it up this way, but you have two options, right? That you, I don't remember exactly, but it doesn't matter. You have the options of diverting the power two ways, right? One way, which I think they, I'm pretty sure they deliberately make you less likely to pick this option. He's fine.
Yes.
He just does something else. And the first time I played that, I didn't do that. And the other option is, you divert the power and essentially you leave him crying in agony forever. So that's nice. Yeah. And they do that a lot of times, right? And those are the ones that really stick with you, because you aren't, well, most of the time you aren't even forced to do these things. So they feel worse. Like, I think it's just before that. Or maybe not. Anyway, around that area, I don't know if you recall, there's another one of these like weird helper robots that's got sort of human intelligence, and it's plugged into the desk with like three different things, and you unplug one and it goes, no, please don't do that. And you kind of stop and you're like, but I think I have to. And then you do, you unplug the other ones, and she says something like, oh, no, I was happy. And you're like, I did that. So
I did that. Yeah.
And it does a lot of those.
I think the game, it's really good, because I think that they presented it purposely to kind of reach people who may not consider a copy as humanity, as a human being. But I anthropomorphize robots already. So right. for me, it was super easy to immediately assume that each of these is a living being and I didn't want to hurt any of them. But I did appreciate their approach for maybe somebody who might look at a machine and go, well, that's not a real person. That's just a copy of somebody's mind on a robot body.
Yeah, they do a very good job of that, right? So you you think before you meet Catherine, who for a while, you know, you think, oh, maybe it's another human being. It's kind of left.
Yeah.
Well, okay, a flesh and blood human being. Hey, that's the whole
point.
And on the way, right, you are, there's some optional ones, but there's a few times you are forced to destroy these machines, destroy these people, whatever they are. And then Catherine, like, quite clearly is like, it doesn't matter. Like, I don't think about it. They're just robots.
Have you seen any people, like staff or field technicians?
Only robots, crazy ones, except for one. I think he said his name was Carl. He was okay, but I'm pretty sure I accidentally killed him by turning off the power.
Oh. Well, you know, robots don't feel anything, so. Yeah.
And then, of course, later on in the game, she does it to you, and you're like, oh, yeah. And it's just like, should I feel funny about this? And if you don't feel funny about it, then why were you bothered, you know, killing the other ones? It's clever. And the main reason this works so well, I feel, is like, it's very subtle. Like, if you're playing this game made by other studios, right, any time you did a quote-unquote good or bad thing, you know, it'd make a whole song and dance about it. Instead, you know, when you unplug a lot of these machines, it doesn't do anything. It just, you know, you judge yourself, right? The game doesn't judge you. It just goes, well, you did that. And it's full of those. Like, I remember there's another one, which it is completely optional. There's another one of the same helper robots with someone's brain in it. And this person thinks they are in the Ark, and they're like, oh, it's a bit weird. Where's everyone else?
Wait. Am I already here? I don't understand.
Hello?
Who is that? Mark?
No, we haven't met before.
Is this the Ark?
I think we're safe.
Oh, I was so worried something had gone wrong.
How did you get here?
I got scanned, like the others. And then I killed myself. At least I think so. I can't remember that part.
How does that work? Did dying get you into the Ark?
Where is everyone? I thought there would be like 40 or 50 people here.
Robin, I'm not sure how to say this.
What?
This is...
Yeah?
Pretty amazing, right? I mean, the Ark.
Yeah, it's great. Catherine and the guys have really pulled through. They saved us all.
And so there, right? Again, it doesn't make a song and dance about it. You can avoid it. But there, you weigh up in your own head, right? You're like, well... she seems happy, but she's waiting for people. They're never going to turn up. And now I know it's fake. I can stop this, but should I? You know, do I have the right to do it?
Yeah. Do I have the right to do it? Yeah. And she says, oh, are we on the Ark? And you can either, I think he lies to her. I think he says, yes, we're okay. I think everything's okay. And she goes, oh, I thought something had gone wrong.
Yeah.
I thought, you know, it'd be awful if that were the case. And it's just that moment of, oh, do I just let her go on believing?
See, this, it's
or,
stuff like that that makes
oh,
you
God,
think
it's so good.
That, you see, even despite, you know, he says a lot of stupid stuff, that Simon actually does have a degree of intelligence. Like, if he was being as thick as he is the rest of the game, he'd be like, no, you're a robot on the floor. But he's
like, hello.
Yeah. But instead, he's got the kind of emotional intelligence to deal with that. But yeah, that I think that's... actually probably one of the best examples I can think of, because it's completely optional. You don't have to do anything, but once you speak to them, you feel like you have to do a thing. And again, it's stuff I've seen the director of the company talk about loads and loads. That it's this funny thing where, obviously, with game development, you look at it and you think, well, all of the game happens on the screen and it's all, you know, it's all that thing. But actually, it all happens in your head. Like, all of that anguish and thinking back and forth and using the information you have, none of that's actually in front of you. It takes place in your head, and that's why it stays with you.
Oh, it's such a good game. Can I ask you, I'd love to ask you a question that's not directly related to Soma, but does being a game dev, I don't want to say ruin the game games that you play for you, but you mentioned that you kind of look at it, you know, oh, the mirror is because it's expensive. Do you find that happens in most of the games that you play now that you're a game dev?
It depends. I mean, the thing is, actually, it works better in, well, as in, it's less of an issue in horror games, because obviously they're very specifically trying to misdirect you. the main thing I would say is, yeah, playing most video games is most sort of techniques they would use to subtly direct players to a place or away from a place, I will spot before I even know what's going on. And, you know, that has, sometimes that's fine. Sometimes it's frustrating. I guess, like, it's like an exaggerated version of, you know, like in really old cartoons where you could tell what was going to move before it did because it looked a bit different. So that kind of thing. But obviously in horror games, it's like, well, you could be, it could be a double bluff, right? You, or you're trying to make me think this, but actually the other. And that's all part of a horror, you know, how a horror game works. For example, there's loads of them, but this is just one I can vividly remember because it's around the time I stopped on my second playthrough because I'm like, that's enough. I can't handle anymore. So they get you to do this task, which is quite arduous in itself, we can talk about, but you essentially trick one of the little, you find one of these digital copies of a human and you trick him into giving you a security code. So you're, you're working back and forth on these machines, yada, yada, yada. So it's like deliberately occupying your brain. And I don't know if you remember, but you're basically going between two sides of Catherine's office. And in the middle, there's a door that's sealed and doesn't open. And there's a little bit of sort of undisclosed material and sort of blood coming out from underneath it. When you finish that task, when you come out the room, the door is slightly open.
What?
Yeah.
I don't remember that.
But nothing happens. But that's what it's there for. Because some people who notice it will be like, oh, no. But nothing actually happens.
Oh, no.
It's just because obviously if every time something like that happens something jumped out at you, it's predictable, but every now and then they'll do things like that where it's like, ah, well, that happened, and it puts you on edge, but actually nothing happens.
Soma was really good at that. Actually, I felt, if I could think of one word to describe my overall feeling during the game, it was uncomfortable. I was massively uncomfortable throughout the entire game.
I when I played it through the first time, I'd love to meet someone, maybe it was you, who could like do it in a single sitting, because it, at some points I'm just like, okay, that's too much, like I have to stop, because you're right, it's just relentless.
It's pretty pretty wild.
It reminds me, the other interesting thing is as well, so the first time I played it, because there was another option, I played it with the monsters, you know, they're aggressive, they can kill you. And the second time, I had them on, I can't remember what they call it, but they don't attack you. They'll pursue you sometimes, but they just kind of get on with their own stuff. And you know what? I think that's actually better. I really do.
Because, I think I agree with you there. I think I saw a talk at one point about how Soma tried too much to be jump scare horror, and it took away from the narrative a little bit. And I thought, I'm a chicken shit, to be honest. So for me, like, the entire game was horrifying, and you know, one sound would send me on another level of anxiety. But I could see how if you take out those elements of those things attacking you, it just becomes one long, uncomfortable session exploring the psychological aspect of what makes that game a horror game, which is humanity. And
I've just realized, actually, and this is genuinely just realizing, it's time to name drop. I actually, a couple of GDCs ago, I actually met everyone from Frictional completely by accident, and chatted to them for a little bit, which was cool, because actually one of the guys who used to work at Frictional, one of the coders, does some story stuff for us, but he used to work there as a coder. So anyway, I knew them and literally just bumped into them in some corner and had a chat. And one of the things I remember asking, because I always just like, I don't know where I get this from. I guess it's just like, well, you know, I'll regret it if I don't. Pretty much straight away, we chat for a little bit. And I was like, so you see someone, the game hadn't been out that long. And I said, so you see someone's made this mod that, you know, stops all the monsters attacking you. What do you think about that? And they all just went, you know what? I wish we'd thought of that.
Oh, wow.
Because I think the thing is, it's so easy to end up like that, right? You know, all of their previous games, it was a much bigger part of the game.
Yeah.
And so they just kind of carried that on. Whereas actually with this one, I can think of a few times the first time I played it, the fact that there was a real threat was actually like, you know, added that genuine sort of, you know, tingling on the back of your neck sensation.
Yeah.
But a lot of the time it was just annoying, or it stopped me exploring an area.
Yeah.
And this time, I had it off, and it's great. Like, one bit, for example, I remember, what's it called? Was it called the Curie? Do you remember you briefly go on that? There's like an upturned ship.
Yes. Yeah. And I don't remember what it was called, but I do remember that part. Yeah.
There's actually like, you know, really like haunting. There's like a news report playing of like the comet smashing into Earth and stuff.
Yeah.
And the stuff of the captain of the Curie talking and saying like, well, basically this is it, but we'll survive for a while. But also you're being quite strongly harassed by a creature. So the first time I played it, I barely heard or saw any of that. Whereas this time I checked it all out and it was worse.
I think, I'm not a game dev, but I can imagine the pressure that you're under on your previous releases, and then coming out with something like Soma, where you have the opportunity to just, you know, make this game where there aren't any monsters that come and attack you. Mm. But then you say to yourself, yeah, but our fan base is expecting, you know, this of us. So, exactly. You know, we got to put it in a little bit, right?
Yeah. And I think they were basically just on the cusp of people accepting things like that. Like if it came out right now, I think people would be like, yeah, sure, fine. A kind of, you know, walking simulator, psychological walking simulator, fine.
Yeah.
By the time it came out, I think, yeah, you know, people who are wrong would say say like, where's the gameplay? And again, the crucial thing to discuss with that, right, is people go, well, what do you mean by gameplay? You mean, oh, well, I have to hide from this monster and it does these things,
yes,
or whatever. And you're like, okay, the game's actually what happens in your head when you think about these things. Like,
yeah.
And the lengths they have to go to, right? Because when you get, I'll tell you what, actually, a good counterpoint to all of this stuff is, have you played Alien Isolation?
I have.
So I love that game, but...
I love that game too.
And again, I delight in the fact I did this. First time I met the guy, I met the creative director somewhere, and I said, I love your game. And he goes, oh, thank you. And I said, it's way too long. And he's like, oh, why does everyone keep saying that? And I'm like, because it's way too long.
Because it is.
It's opinion, it's twice as long as it needs to be. And basically, get to the point where for most of the game, right, the alien is just terrifying, like as it should be. Mm-hmm. And you never really know what to do with it or how to do anything with it. And then gradually, right, you get all these toys to manipulate it. And sure, they only work for a certain amount of time or whatever. But as far as I'm concerned, as soon as you're spending loads of time thinking of it as a system, like how do I make it do this? How do I make it do that? Then it's not quite as good. And again, frictional. I mean, with Alien Isolation, to its credit, they try very hard with this, right? Like they do add elements to it that you can't ever figure it out. You know, it does have a degree of randomness, and it's deliberately kind of fuzzy in that it senses. You can't really tell if it's found you or not. You know what I mean? Sometimes.
Mm-hmm.
And still, they have this thing where I think every now and then, occasionally, it will just kind of by itself decide to make quite like an abrupt turn without you doing anything. And once or twice, that worked perfectly. Like, I remember one time I was hid in some little locker, as you are for most of that game. And I was watching it, and it was moving away from me. Like, it was just ambling down the corridor. And I'm like, yeah, fine, I got away with this. It's one of those little small lockers, so it's even worse. And I'm watching it go down the corridor, and I'm going, ah, yeah, okay, it's just about to get up that vent, I'm fine. And I'm just about to open the door, and for no reason, it just turned around and ran full speed right towards the vent, like, right in front of me, and then disappeared. And that was just terrifying. And I had no idea why it did that. And so that kind of experience is like, Soma's like that all the time, right? They worked very hard to make it very difficult to tell what the monsters, can they even see? What do they perceive? And that's great. It's great until you die a couple of times and then you're like, I don't get it. Like, how do I, you know, get around this guy? And one of them, I just got fed up and I just kind of ran through it. Although, interestingly, just one more thing I want to say about Isolation. I think it says something about me. I'm not sure what. Is any time, like, I thought, like, well, when it was, like, beyond reasonable doubt that the alien had spotted me, I just run into it because I couldn't cope with the pressure. I'd just be like, yeah, you got me.
Oh, yeah.
Just run into
it. Okay, so I do that all the time. When something sees me in a game, I just freeze and I drop the controller and I'm like, just kill me and get it over because I can't fight. I can't run.
Yeah.
I just like that to be
and
over.
And it's really interesting because, like, with Alien Isolation, you actually had a much better chance than I ever thought. And again, it turns out I'm going to keep harping on about this. This is all like, you know, the mental model stuff, right? So with my entirety of playing Alien Isolation, I never used any of those little distraction devices or anything because my designer brain's like, well, obviously these work. That's why they put them in the game. But my like normal, more primal sort of lizard brain goes, yeah, but look at that thing. It's not going to be fooled by this stupid little device.
Exactly. I'm the same way.
So I never used them at all.
I think what that says about us is we're probably not people that will be desired during an apocalyptic event.
No, I don't think so. But so the thing with that is, the really funny thing is, so stuff they put into the game, right, they have the system where, which we won't have experienced much, but you may have found out at the end in the same way I did, that gradually, right, it gets used to you using these toys. So if you keep using a distraction device, I think it's literally...
It does get smart.
Three or four times it figures it out. But the crucial thing is, right, the first time, they're really effective. So I didn't use them for the whole game until basically the end, where it really sort of ramps up the, you know, how aggressive it is.
Yeah.
But I kind of ruined it for myself because there's times where clearly it was meant to be quite intense, but I'd just chuck a device at one end and it would be really interested in it, so I could just leg it the rest of the way.
And in that moment, they were hoping that you'd already used the device
But for me, unfortunately, I was just like, oh, well, I feel kind of cheap for doing this, but I am cheap, so see you later. And would just run away.
I don't think I ever thought that. Yeah. I think I was just like, thank God I'm getting out of here.
Yeah. But anyway, I mean, so just turning all that off, it works great. You lose basically nothing. I mean, for most of them, it's better because, like, even if you think of even the first monster, it's like a really mutated helper walker thingy. Instead of, like, you know, having to cower from it and hear the noises and everything, which is great. Instead, you just look at it and you're like, oh, I feel, you know, it's extra horrific and you feel sad about it. Yeah, it really, I'm so glad I actually tried it out because it's great.
I think I'll have to play through again with that mod, but I think if they had done that traditionally in the game, I think it would have been extra horrifying when you realize that all of these monsters are actually people.
Yeah.
The WoW is, you know, again, for those of you listening that maybe don't have this game fresh in your mind, the WoW is the sort of artificial intelligence that it is trying to preserve humanity, and it's trying to create map human brain scans to these robots. And basically the monsters that you run into the game, there comes a point where you realize these are all failed experiments. So either they are A, all failed versions of Simon, or B, they're failed versions of other people that you then meet in the game also. So that is extra horrific. That moment was extra scary for me.
Yeah, definitely. And actually, it's a very, you know, it's not unique to them, but it's rare. And it's just one of my favorite creepy things. Is the best thing about the WoW is, so like when they talk about it, I think it's Catherine who's like, oh, it's not like, she's trying to explain it to Simon, like simple Simon, and just trying to go, oh, it's not, you know, don't think of it as like a intelligence. It's more sort of basic than that. And that's the thing that's scary about it, right? Is that it's not a specific entity that's deliberately trying to do horrendous things. It's a kind of more basic thing where I can't remember. It's explained exactly, but basically it's kind of, you know, Tennant is like, okay, keep humanity alive. But it's only very vaguely understands what a human is. And it's like, well, everyone else in the world is dead. These are the only people who are alive. And it's like, I kind of know what alive means, so I'm going to do all these things. And to you, they're so obviously horrific. But to it, it's like, I'm just doing my job
here. I'm keeping it alive. What does alive mean? Mm. I feel like that's definitely what the WoW kind of misinterpreted, because it also tries to keep the virtual scanned people alive as well. You know, it takes threats to both physical beings and the virtual beings seriously with the same regard, which I found very fascinating. I'd like to talk about really quickly, you mentioned Brandon Wan, which is the guy that you bring to life. Yeah, you bring him to life with the help of Catherine. And again, for those of you listening, basically Catherine guides you back and forth between I think her office and somewhere else, I think you said, and she's trying to get you to collect information so that you can properly interrogate Brandon and get a code to go into some room or somewhere. And during that simulation, basically you create a simulation for him to make him feel safe enough to give you the code. Mm-hmm. And what's fascinating is that every player might have to go through the simulation a different number of times to get the answer. Mm-hmm. So what's intriguing about that is I feel like they did a very good job with Catherine saying, oh yeah, let's just do this and do that, of not, you're not really thinking about it. And then the moment you boot it up, it's too late, because he's now like, this guy is terrified, and you realize, oh my God, this person's real and I just brought him to life and I'm going to kill him. And then I'm going to do it again until I get the answer over and over and over again. And then you think to yourself, how many times has that happened to me, Simon, you know?
Exactly. I mean, I think that's a time they used to reveal a lot about Catherine's character, because she doesn't care at all. Like, she doesn't even hesitate for the slightest second. Like, she's like, okay, I know how to solve this. I'll impersonate, like, his partner and just get him to give you the code. And she doesn't...
get his girlfriend's voice.
She doesn't care. And she doesn't even, like...
Do you think she doesn't care? Or do you think that she just, you know, assumes greater good?
Well, okay, I suppose doesn't care is a bit strong. I think it's more that, like... Yeah. You know, she's had a long time to think this through and sort of knows where the end is. So, you know, she's ahead of the player in that sense. So, yeah, while you're still struggling a little bit, you're like, oh, man, that's a real person, or is it? Whatever. She's like, I know what I'm going to do here. It's a bit that I found quite, you know, moving, is that she pretends to be, you know, his partner and gets the code and then immediately goes, oh, by the way, I'm not the partner. Cheers, bye. And he's like, yeah, terrified. And she just turns it off and then goes, right, okay, we got it.
Oh.
And she is obviously, you know, not that, you know, well, she's used to it, I suppose, by now. Because I find it interesting as well, you know, quite a bit later on where it turns out like the, you know, how we want to define it, like original Catherine just got her head smashed in. And it's just lying dead on the floor unceremoniously. And the Catherine that's with you is just like, eh, okay, like, fine. Not even, you know, because she's already been through the process of like, yeah, okay, that's me, but it's not.
It's not me anymore.
Hmm.
I wonder if, because Catherine is painted as pretty odd in the beginning anyway.
Hmm.
You know, like she's more driven and she's willing to make, you know, sacrifices or try really strange experiments and try to convince people to get scanned in the first place. Mm-hmm. But I wonder what that was like for her. I wonder if when she realized and saw that her head got bashed in, if she was just like, oh, I don't feel anything. So
yeah.
I guess that means it's not me, you know? I wonder what they all went through when they realized they were a robot, if they did.
I definitely think, like, because the first time I played it, despite, yeah, you know, mm-hmm. I was kind of data mining a little bit, I did try to play it as I felt like playing it. And actually, I quite deliberately went, don't think about it, just do the things, because that's what I think I would do. And yeah,
really?
It only gets worse the longer you think about it. Well, actually, interestingly, a lot of the stuff I came to the same conclusions to, right? For example, you know, you have, they do this repeatedly and it's optional. So, you know, you judge yourself and feel bad for it or not.
Yeah.
So you get, in that same room we were just talking about, you get to see all of the original brain scans, including your own, and also your own audio log of you, the original you dying.
The model was sound. It should have worked.
It's not your fault, David.
I really wish things had turned out differently.
Yeah, me too.
I was supposed to save you.
Hey, you got my brain on file. Maybe you can put it to some use.
Yeah, who knows? You'd be okay with that? Using it for my research?
Sure. It's like a part of me lives on or something. Like a donated organ. You know what sucks about dying?
What?
The crash. Everything up till now, the brain damage, you guys, everything, has made my life so much more real. I started thinking about all the things I was going to do. I'd never been more excited to be alive. All that hope wasted.
And you can delete it all, or not. And the first time I played it, I was like, I don't think about it, just delete it all. And this time, I did think about it, and I was like, should I delete this? And I went through it, and I was like, yeah, this is already pretty bad. Probably don't want any more of that.
But you're killing people then.
Yeah, exactly. And you're like, yeah. Yeah, it's tricky. And that's the best part of it. Again, like, what you're actually looking at, you're just staring at some text on a screen in a game. But in your head, you're going, yeah, am I killing them? Are they as real? You know, I feel real now, but am I? And,
Well, ladies and gentlemen, thank you for listening. And unfortunately, we are going to have to cut this episode right here. But please join us again next week for part two of our discussion of Soma with Chris Wilson, design director at UK-based game dev studio Cardboard Sword, which you can find more information on at cardboardsword.co.uk. The Deep Dive podcast is brought to you by PBTV. You can find us on the web at deepdivecast.com and also on Twitter and Instagram at deepdivecast. If you liked what you heard, please consider rating and reviewing us on iTunes. And if you'd like, support us by visiting us on Patreon at Pumpkinberry. Patrons receive monthly black and white wallpapers, high quality episodes, bonus episode content, and of course the knowledge that you, the listener, are keeping the Deep Dive afloat. Thanks for listening, and we'll see you next time, divers.
The Deep Dive podcast is proudly part of the Geek Generation Network. For more podcasts about your favorite geeky things like games or your favorite shows, browse our whole library at thegeekgeneration.com.